Patrick Barr as David Coleman in The Rabid Summer by James Follett, with Clifford Norgate, Pauline Letts, Garrard Green and John Ringham. The Rabid Summer.
Coleman?
Sorry to disturb you, Mr. Coleman. This is Inspector Swan.
Oh, hello, Tim. What's up?
Isn't Counselor Mrs. Collins a regular customer of yours?
Oh, no. Has another of her cats been run over?
Fox has had a go at one. Chased it into her kitchen through her cat door, would you believe?
I believe anything a fox is these days.
Anyway, the cat's badly maimed, and I was wondering if you'd come over to her place to do the necessary.
I'll be there in 15 minutes.
What's the matter, David?
The cat catastrophe. Go back to sleep. I won't be long.
So that's a shrew in trap six.
Male, 16 grams.
And according to the mark, it was the same shrew we caught in trap three last week.
Which means his territory ranges well over 2 hectares.
Mm-hmm.
Something else for the local zoological society to ponder on. Which trap's next?
Number 7, Dad, over by that hollow tree.
Right. Yeah, it's good to have you back, Tess. Muriel and I still haven't adjusted to the idea of having you for the whole summer.
Oh, except for my month in Spain.
Yes, when is that?
In 6 weeks. Last 2 weeks in June and the first two in July.
I wish it wasn't for so long. We hardly ever see, you know.
You'll be sick of the sight of me come September. Anyway, my thin blood will be craving that Spanish sun. So would yours after 2 years in Iran.
Well, won't you come back here when your contract expires?
Well, I've heard a whisper. It'll be renewed.
Oh?
In any case, I wouldn't want to live here. Oh, it's a lovely place to be brought up in. All those beaches. But I can't see myself ending up marrying a farmer who's forever complaining about the weather and the government.
Now, those complaining farmers and sick cattle have paid for your education, my love.
Ah, but they're not paying so well now, are they?
I knew it was a mistake letting you tackle my paperwork.
Well, I have to keep my hand in. Well, the point is, Dad, that although you're the only vet serving the town, business isn't doing so well now, is it?
Well, things are a bit slack at the moment.
Oh, come off it, Dad. What are the fields round those woods? Pasture land crammed with dairy herds when I was a kid. And now there are acres and acres of pick-your-own-vegetables and strawberries for day trippers.
You can't blame the farmers if that's what makes money these days.
Mummy told me that Uncle Harold had asked you to take over his small animal practice.
I've no intention of spending the rest of my career in suburbia doing nothing else but nursing pampered pussies. At least there's variety in general practice. Horse in foal one day and ailing gerbils the next. Ah, looks like a visitor, number 7. Give us the spring balancer. Yeah. 190 grams. The trap weighs 110. What was the bedding weight, Tess?
50 grams.
So our client weighs...
30 grams, Dad. You really are hopeless. What have you found?
Looks like there's been a fight over there. Blood and paw marks.
Oh, between a couple of dogs?
Well, hard to tell. They're too smudged. Probably foxes. This wood's overrun with them. They're getting cheeky with it. A month before you got back, one chased one of Councillor Collins' cats into her kitchen and half killed it.
Oh.
Never seen such a mess. And last week, I saw a couple in the marketplace scavenging round the refuse bins.
At least they're better at adapting to change than some humans.
Let's see what we've got in the trap.
Ah, it's a vole. Come on out, little fella. Come on. Let's have a look at you. Oh, his back's marked. An old customer, Dad.
You know, I'm going to have to find another survey area soon. The furry lads in this wood are learning to recognize my traps as somewhere to go for a meal and a night's lodging. Like those weird boyfriends you used to bring home.
Hey, isn't he tame? Shall I sex him?
Well, definitely male to be so docile in your hands. I should wear gloves, Tess. They can pack a hell of a bite.
Ah, you won't bite me, will you, little fella? I'm just turning you over to have a look at you. Yes, male.
He's very tame, isn't he?
Oh, look. Poor little chap, you have been in the wars. Look at that bite, Dad.
Looks like a fox has taken a nip at him.
Oh, is that why he's so tame? Because he's in steady shock?
Oh, shouldn't think so. That wound looks at least a week old.
Will he be all right?
Well, the wound's healing and he's eaten all the bait.
Oh, poor little thing, a nasty old fox.
Tess, you really should wear gloves when you're...
Oh, he's got teeth like needles.
Is he?
Little devil.
Well, you better suck it as hard as you can. Does it hurt?
No, it stings more than anything.
Come on, we're cold today. Mm-hmm. If we walk fast enough, we should get home in time to call Dr. Phillips before his surgery closes.
It's nothing, Dad, just a little nip.
You know I never take chances with animal
bites. It's nothing a drop of disinfectant won't take care of.
Come on, home. Smells good.
Oh, yes. For once you're early. Lunch isn't for another hour. How did you get on?
Got 8 shrews, 2 weasels, and a vole got me. Where's the medicine chest, Mum?
Blessed amateur zoologists. All you seem to learn about wild animals is that they bite.
Mm.
Show me. Oh, yes. Is it deep?
No.
Who are you calling, David?
Dr. Phillips. As if he hasn't enough to worry about. I do wish you will make a fuss, Dad.
I've got some antiseptic here somewhere.
Hello, Dr. Phillips Surgery. Oh, my name's David Coleman. My daughter's just been bitten by a vole, and I'd like her to have a
really
shot.
Really not necessary.
Is it okay if I bring her around in, say, 10 minutes?
He doesn't change, does he?
Well, why not? Look, I'm not asking for major surgery, just an anti-tetanus shot. Well, I think it is urgent.
Come on now, the dressing.
Good grief, woman. What's the point in setting up an expensive health centre if you have to refer even simple treatment to the general hospital 12 miles away? In that case, perhaps you'd give Dr. Phillips a message. Tell him he can find another vet to call out in the middle of the night when one of his kid's ponies is sick.
There goes another client. You really must learn to control your temper.
I'm sorry, Muriel, but that sort of attitude infuriates me.
Anyway, it's done now. Look.
That's not the point. What's the use of having an expensive health... Hello, yes? Oh, good morning, Major. Yes. Oh, dear, sorry to hear it. Yes, sure. Yeah, give me 10 minutes, I'll be right over.
Oh, can't we even have a Saturday off?
Sorry, my love, but Major Latham's one customer we can't afford to lose.
Bye.
One of his cows has just got through the fence and fallen into the creek.
Well, try and be back within the hour.
And get him to pay you in cash. Did you know Major Latham owes Dad nearly £250?
Still a faint heartbeat.
Okay, old girl. Easy, easy.
It won't be long now. I gave her a fairly hefty dose.
Damn fencing contractors. I'm going to stop that check.
She's going.
Best Jersey in the herd.
That's it.
Well, thanks for coming down so quickly, Dave.
I'm only sorry there was nothing for it but to destroy it.
You get used to it, don't you?
Well, I don't know about other vets, but I never have. Whether it's a kid's hamster or a fully grown cow.
Well, anyway, shove it on the account, won't you?
That reminds me, Major.
Hmm?
Don't take offense if you get a reminder over last month's account. We've got Tess at home on leave for the summer, and she's in... Well, she's decided to look after my paperwork. She tends to be efficient.
Well, I don't suppose that oil company would have her if she wasn't. Yet I'm sorry about that, Bill Day, but to be perfectly honest, things have been a bit tight lately. I might have to get shot of the yacht.
Is that why she's over there, not in the marina?
A mud berth, a tenth of the price those rogues charge for marina mooring.
She looks beautiful. Reckon you'd have trouble selling her?
We might not have to if I can hang on through the summer. I've got some parties of French and German businessmen coming over when the fox hunting season starts. You wouldn't believe what they're prepared to pay for a fortnight's sport. I suppose I'd better bring the pickup down. Damn nuisance, that Jersey.
What's happened to Bess? Don't often see you without her at your side.
She's on heat. I have to keep her in.
So soon after her last litter? Have you found homes for them, eh?
Right round them, Dave. They were curs.
Well, didn't you leave Bess at least one? Look, I wish you'd let me deal with them.
Oh, I can't afford you for non-essential work.
I'd willingly have done it for nothing. Anyway, he's a sturdy cat, Mrs. Collins. Bring him along to Tuesday's surgery and I'll have a look at him.
You
but I'm sure he'll be fine by Monday.
Well, I just can't be too careful after what happened to poor Shandy. Oh, dear, I've just remembered. There's a council meeting Tuesday evening. Will Monday morning be all right?
Oh, that'll be fine.
I dare say the school will manage without me for half an hour.
Now, if you'd excuse me.
Mr. Coleman, where's that charming daughter of yours?
Tess is in Spain on holiday.
Oh. You know, I must get you to give the children a talk on being a vet.
Next, please.
Oh, Mr. Harding, I understand the Forestry Commission have approved the use of warfarin hoppers in their campaign against grey squirrels.
Tree rats, we call them, Mrs. Collins.
I don't approve of this indiscriminate poisoning of wildlife, and I'll be bringing the matter up at the next council meeting.
It's not indiscriminate. And if you had 2,000 acres of conifers to look
after... I think you'd better take Martini out, Mrs. Collins. He
yes.
might find an Alsatian's more than he bargained for. I'll see him on Monday morning, all right?
Yes. And Martini doesn't approve of Alsatians.
He's a German shepherd dog. Silly old battle axe.
She's all right, really. Hello, Zulu. What's the matter with you, then?
Oh, this one's Simba.
Oh?
Zulu's slightly darker.
Up on the table, Simba. Good boy. Ah, what's the trouble? Oh, yes, this bite.
I took him with me into Seven Acre Copse. He was scratching around in a clearing near one of those striped poles you use to mark your tracks when this fox stepped out of the undergrowth, bold as you please, and trotted up to him.
A fox?
I tried to show it off, but it didn't take the slightest bit of notice. It was rather funny, really. They were nose to nose like statues, with Simba's hackles standing on end. Then the fox lunged forward, bit Simba on the shoulder, and dashed off.
Extraordinary behavior for a fox. Look, this might hurt him a bit, so if you could hold him firmly...
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Good evening, Major Latham. Just the man I wanted.
Oh, evening, Dave. Give him as usual, Mary, and same again for me.
Yes, thanks. You own the seven-acre copse, don't you, Major?
And it's yours for the market price value of agricultural land per acre with the standing timber thrown in, and that's worth a bit. Had an offer last month. Turned it down. Damn crook.
I don't want to buy it.
Oh, pity.
Have you been in it recently?
Not since the last shoot. Why?
Well, this may seem silly.
Oh, try me. Cheers.
Cheers. It's just that the wildlife in that copse seems abnormally tame.
Hardly surprising. The amount of free meals you dish out in those traps of yours...
Clive Harding, the forestry warden, brought one of his Alsatians to my surgery today.
Mm-hmm.
It had been bitten by a fox which had walked up to it, bold as brass, taking a chunk out of its shoulder.
They'll be trotting up to the pack next in the middle of a chase and licking their faces.
Well, that's not all. A few weeks back, Tess and I caught a friendly vole. Well, friendly at first, that is. Then there was that business of, what must have been a seven-acre fox getting into Mrs. Collins's kitchen and killing one of her cats.
Yeah, you know, she was voted in as chairman of the council at the last meeting.
I'd heard. What I was wondering...
It was my turn. Just because a fellow with a few bob here...
Was wondering if you might have any ideas.
What about... Oh, the wildlife behavior.
Yes.
I remember my father opening the Botany Bay plantation when I was a boy. He took the fences down once the trees were established. The animals in there weren't used to people. Rabbits and squirrels used to eat out of your hand. Surely you've heard of such cases?
Yes, but...
Not that many people go to seven-acre copse these days. Too far from the main road.
Oh. Well, maybe you're right. But I still think there's something very odd about the wildlife in that copse.
David?
Hmm?
David, I want to talk to you about Harold's offer.
Not now, Muriel.
All right, then. I'll put a time in your appointments book, shall I?
When we finish breakfast.
Now.
Look, we've been here 26 years now, ever since Tess was born. It suits us, a small town on the coast.
You mean a dying town. Look, you've always said that it's the small animal vets who are making money these days. Harold's practice must be doing well for him to contemplate retiring at 55. It's a marvellous offer which you're crazy not to jump at.
Well, this practice keeps me busy.
Filling in all those silly record cards which aren't even necessary. You'd be better occupied chasing a few outstanding debts. Tess told me that some of the farmers round here owe you a small fortune. Hmm? Oh. That post. I'll get it.
Maybe Major Layton has finally paid his bill.
Here. Another postcard from Tess and several bills.
Well, leave them in the office.
Okay. Nearly as hot as Iran. Spaniards better behave than Italians. Return flight arrives 17:50, your time on the 10th of July. Has Major Layton paid his bill yet?
Oh, she shouldn't put things like that on a postcard.
Can you meet me, please, love Tess? Well, that's odd. She said she'd be returning on the 18th.
Oh, maybe the tour operator's made a mistake. 10th, that's the day after tomorrow. We could be at the airport by 5:30 if I shut up shop at 4:30. There she is. Tess!
Dave, she looks terrible.
Hello, Tess here. Let me take these.
Oh, hello, darling. Tess, are you feeling okay?
I'll be all right. I expect it was the flight.
You don't look at all well. Oh, leave the luggage, Dave. Bring the car out to the front entrance.
Is there anything I can get her?
Just get the car. Well, did you have to come this way?
The main road will be jammed with weekend coastal traffic at this time.
I'm sorry to be such a nuisance.
It's no trouble, Tessa. Now, stop worrying.
Oh, it's good to be back. I couldn't get any sleep at the hotel. Seem to be parties and noise going on all night.
Not like you to complain about noise.
Ignore him. How long have you been feeling like this?
About 10 days. The tour people fixed up for me to come home on an earlier flight. I just feel so tired and listless all the time.
Shall I drive straight round to Dr. Phillips before going home?
No, please, don't make a fuss. I'll be fine after a good night's sleep.
Oh, thanks, love.
Oh, I'm going to do a salad for this evening. It's too hot for cooking. What are you typing?
Begging letters. Begging people to pay up. I haven't got Tessie's flair. How is she?
She's still asleep.
That's, what, over 20 hours now? Yeah. She must have been exhausted.
Well, can you fix up the fan in her room? It's over 90 in there.
When I finish this.
Oh, Dave, I'm worried about her. She seems to be delirious.
Are you sure?
Well, she's muttering in her sleep. That prescription's not doing much good. She's still got a temperature, and yet she hasn't touched any of our water. You should have got the doctor to see her.
His receptionist said there's nearly 20 kids off school with this summer flu. Remember how it used to knock out Tess every year?
Well, she hasn't worn any of the clothes I'd ironed for her. She was so looking forward to the holiday, too.
Oh!
Coming, Tess!
Dad, please!
Coming, darling!
What is it, Tess?
A nightmare.
All right, my love, it's all over now. There, darling.
Oh, I was in a steel cage.
Oh, love.
Strawn scraps of food on the floor.
Oh,
steel. Steel all around, like a trap, a giant trap.
All right now, my darling, love, it's got you. Everything's going to be all right, darling. David, there's a box of tissues on my bed. Quickly. All right, my love. All right, darling. I'm not leaving you. There.
Steel.
Darling.
Dark and cold. Something's going to happen to
no,
me.
No, nothing's going to happen.
I know. Yeah. I can feel
it. Yeah. Terrible.
You're going to have to get that doctor cut to come out.
She's so hot.
All right, my darling.
I'm sorry.
Oh, there's nothing to be sorry for. Let's see if we can get some water into her. Come on, Tess. Come on, darling. Sit up. Up. There.
Come on,
that's
Tess.
It.
Just a sip, Tess.
No.
Please, Tess, it's only water.
Oh, she's so small, I can't hold
her. Darling, look at her eyes.
Just get some water into her. Hold the glass to her lips.
What's the matter with her?
Get that doctor.
I'll go right away.
Get that doctor.
That was the number. Oh, come on.
This is the Mill Lane Health Center answering service. service.
Oh, my
the
God.
The surgery is closed until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Urgent calls should be referred to the emergency doctor on 421.
Oh, the hell with it.
Oh, for God's sake, hurry up!
As quick as I can! Can I speak to Inspector Swan if he's on duty, please?
Speaking.
Jim, this is Dave Coleman. Dr. Phillips left a prescription out for my daughter this morning, and now she's very ill. We think he must have made a mistake. His private number isn't listed. Now, could you let me have it so I can call him direct, please? It's very urgent.
Hold on a moment. The doctor see your daughter this morning?
No, we called too late for him to make a house call. His receptionist thought the symptoms sounded like this flu bug and got the doctor to leave a prescription out.
Oh, please. David!
Please, hurry, Tim.
Look, I can't give you his number, but I'll call him for you. It sounds as if you'll need an ambulance. Have you called one?
No, we didn't want to move her too far from Dr. Phillips, as he's the only one that knows what he put on that prescription.
Well, I'll call one and get the doctor round to your place right away.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks a million.
All right, kids. Mommy and Daddy are right here. We'll be at the hospital in just a few minutes.
I'll kill that doctor, so help me.
But if he said the pills were only a mild antibiotic...
That's not the point. To refuse to come out and see her because we'd called an ambulance.
Not pills. I know what it is. Iran.
Oh, my darling. Don't try to talk.
There is nothing we can do now, nurse, but wait.
5:30 since the last seizure, Doctor. Have you seen what she's done to the straitjacket?
Mr. Bickle was at home, Dr. Mellon. He's coming over to open the lab immediately.
I've seen it at home, but I never thought I'd ever see it in this country.
There's no doubt.
I could be wrong, but the symptoms are the same. Dilated pupils, excessive salivation, convulsions...
And the superhuman strength?
Yes, that too. There's an 8-year-old girl in my village. It needed 4 men to hold her down.
Oh,
not for long. No, leave her.
Oh, but Doctor,
there is nothing you can do. Nothing any of us can do.
Mr. David Coleman?
Yes?
Good morning. I'm Martin Willis, the medical officer of health, and this is Mr. Ian Margent.
Oh, yes, you rang an hour ago. Come in.
Thank you. We're extremely sorry to have to trouble you at such a time, but the point is...
Through here. I'm sorry everything's in such a mess. I've been going through my daughter's things.
Well, if we could leave it to another time, we would, Mr. Coleman, but there are some urgent questions that must be answered.
Mr. Margent is the regional veterinary officer.
Yes, we've met before. The doctor at the hospital gave my wife a sedative last night, but if you'd like to see her... I expect
oh, no, please don't disturb her, Mr. Coleman.
Have the hospital confirmed...
Well, I'm expecting a call from them. I gave them your number. I hope you didn't mind.
No. A fluorescent antibody test on brain tissue, the same test as for animals.
Yes, that's right.
I've been reading about it.
We understand that Tess had just come back from a trip to Spain. When did she arrive in this country?
The day before yesterday, July the 10th.
And she went when?
Well, you better have this. It's her itinerary from the tour operator.
Torremolinos.
Yes.
There was a case in 75. Nothing since. Anyway, it's too quick. The incubation period in humans...
Had Tess been out of the country on other trips during the past 18 months or so?
Well, yes. She was home on leave for the summer after spending 2 years in Iran with the Taranko Oil Company. I thought you knew.
No, we didn't. Where in Iran? Tehran?
I can never pronounce the name of the place. The address is on her letters. Here's one. That place.
Thanks.
When did she come home?
Beginning of April.
Yes. Yes, it's listed. 21 cases the year before last, 29 last year, and 33 confirmed so far this year.
No, excuse me. Coleman? Yes, he's here. The hospital for you, Mr. Willis.
Thank you. Willis? Yes? You're certain? I see. No, I can't talk now. We'll see you in the hospital in an hour. Fine. Thank you for calling. The interim test was positive, Mr. Coleman.
Ah.
It now seems certain that your daughter died of rabies.
And this is a photograph of her left ankle.
Mm-hmm.
You see that faint trace of scar tissue?
Oh, yes.
As far as I can see, that's the only possible infection site. Naturally, I can't be 100% certain.
It's healed well?
Yes, well. Once the rabies virus enters the nervous system, it leaves no trace at the infection site. Normal healing often does take place in the case of long incubation periods. I suppose this mark could have been caused by, say, the girl injuring herself in coral when swimming. But it's the only skin lesion on her body that accords with a dog bite.
And dogs are the main vectors of the disease in Iran. How old is the bite?
If that's what it is, and I think it is, I'd say between 6 months and a year.
Is it likely that this bite occurred after her return from Iran?
April? No, most unlikely. You can see how well it's healed.
Ah, yes.
If she'd spent 2 years in Iran up until last April, then that's where she got this bite. I'd stake my reputation on that.
And there's the beach. Not as popular as it was. Too much pollution. Another hotel closed last month. Have you seen all you want to see?
Yes, the daughter of a vet. That was worrying me.
A coincidence. Like that Royal Army Veterinary Corps officer living next door to the owners of that rabid dog in Camberley was a coincidence.
I've counted 10 stray dogs so far.
What's that got to do with it?
I was just thinking of the consequences.
Look, Margaret. She died of rabies, all right? I agree it's a coincidence that her father's a vet, but he's not the supervisory vet at the quarantine kennels, and we've satisfied ourselves that a quarantined animal hasn't escaped or cross-infected an animal just released. So there's no way the girl could have come into contact with a rabid animal in this country. She'd just come back from 2 years in Iran, where the disease is epizootic. Now, what more evidence do you want? Now, let's go back to my office and write our report saying that there's no danger. All right?
That amounts to all the money I've taken in deposits for next season's fox hunting guests. And you can tell your Mr. Snell that's all I've got. He can have the rest when the season starts.
I'll see if I can persuade Mr. Snell to accept this, but he's an impatient man, Major.
I wouldn't have joined that club had I known the sort of people that were running it.
Had we known the sort of person you were, we wouldn't have let you. When members win, as you have in the past, then they rightly expect to be paid immediately. Just as Mr. Snell expects to be paid immediately when they lose.
He'll just have to wait, Kemp. I'm sorry.
This is a very pleasant farmhouse. And what, 3,000 acres? Quite a sizable estate. That's why Mr. Snell allowed you to run up such a debt.
It's worth a damn sight more than I owe that little crook, so you can think again.
You do the thinking, Major. Think about the two methods Mr. Snell can use to obtain his money. There's the legal method, which means you would be declared a bankrupt and this estate would be sold over your head to pay what you owe. Or Mr. Snell's preferred method, which may seem a little unorthodox, but it's less harsh in the long term, although it might not seem so at the time.
I don't understand.
With a long, hot summer like this, it would be wise to make sure your fire insurance is adequate.
I see. My gun dogs disappeared. I suppose it was you who took her.
I only handle the accountancy side of the business. A beautiful view. Is that your yacht in the creek?
Would Snell accept that?
Mr. Snell already has a yacht, Major. What he doesn't have is the money you owe him. I suggest you get your German and French businessmen to pay for their hunting in advance. The day the season opens, you'll have two visitors with instructions to collect.
The flowers were beautiful, Harold. Yes, without a hitch. No, don't worry. We know how busy you are. We're going away tomorrow for a few days. Muriel wants to get away from the place. I'll give you a decision by the end of August, only I can't think straight at the moment. Look, I must go now, Harold. Muriel's struggling with the packing. Bye.
Why didn't he come to the funeral?
Too busy with his poodles and pussies.
You didn't give him a decision?
No.
Despite my feelings? When I've told you I don't want to live here anymore? There are too many memories. Except they don't seem like memories yet.
Oh, listen.
Well, everywhere I look, I see her. The broken apple tree branch where she had a swing. The patch on the path where she spilt some paint. There's all her things that I haven't been able to touch. Don't you understand? All I want to do is to get away from this place and stay away.
And I want to stay because of the memories. She loved this place. She wouldn't want us to move on her account. You'll feel differently in time. The doctor said...
Oh, what the hell does he care? He wouldn't even come out to see her. A prescription left on his receptionist's desk. That's his idea of looking after people. Nobody cares anymore.
Well, I've got to go into town to get the car.
No, please don't go for a minute, David. What are we going to do?
Just carry on.
Oh,
I know how you feel, love, but I wouldn't be happy running Harold's small animal practice.
He said it would be your business. Well, what have you got against small animals? People would bring their cats and dogs along during proper surgery hours and pay cash each visit. None of this performance with chasing up farmers' accounts all the time. Well, if it hadn't been for Tess chivying them with reminders, we wouldn't have had enough to pay for the funeral. And Major Layton still hasn't paid.
Well, I have enough to do keeping my record cards up to date. I know I'm not much good at paperwork, but we manage.
Harold can afford an assistant. I'm sorry to keep on at you, Dave. I don't want to sound like a nagging wife. But I'm thinking of you. In 10 years, you'll want to retire, and you won't be able to if we stay in this dead and alive place.
We'll talk about it later.
Oh.
I'd better get the oil and water checked while I'm at it.
Well, go to the garage opposite the school. They're doing a cut price offer this week.
Perfectly still, please, children. Stop fidgeting, Angela. And you, John. Now, wait for it. Nice, straight line, please, children. Thomas, Miss Webb, were you in charge?
Try and keep him in this corner.
Yes.
Is this netball thing fixed to the ground?
No, it'll lift us.
Well, go on then, but keep them quiet.
Yes, yes. Children, come on, follow me. Follow me into the school party.
Easy, oh, Simba. Easy, boy. All right, boy. Not going to hurt you. Just going to slip this net over your head. Good boy, Simba. Keep still. There's a good dog. Steady, boy. Steady. Good dog. Good boy!
This is the last one, Doctor. Michael Thorne. Age 10. The dog knocked him down and bit him on the back of the neck.
Hello, Michael.
Just turn your head a little. That's it. Oh, that's a nasty bite, isn't it? I'm just going to give you a little jab in the tummy, then you can join your friends in the ambulance. Have you ever been in an ambulance? Hold his head, nurse.
There we are.
This might hurt a little, Michael, but I'm sure you're a brave boy.
There we are. There's a good boy.
We've finished here now, Mr. Swan. We're taking the four children who've been bitten back to the hospital for observation.
Good.
I've already given them the first injection in the rabies post-exposure vaccination program. Mm.
What are their chances?
Well, even if the vaccine doesn't work, they're very good.
Oh, why?
Human beings are not particularly susceptible to rabies. In my country, only 1 in 10 of those bitten by rabid animals actually contract the disease. That's the world average.
Oh, Dr. Menon, this is Mr. Margent, the regional veterinary officer. Mr. Willis is on his way.
Yes, we've met. Where's the Alsatian?
Mr. Coleman managed to shut it in the boys' toilets. He's now guarding the entrance. It's through that door.
You can just see him through the window if you climb on that pipe.
Right.
Respiratory movement stopped about 5 minutes ago after paralysis set in. See him?
Yes. Saliva all over the place. He's damaged his teeth on something.
He was gnawing frantically at a waste pipe under one of the hand basins before he went into a comatose state. 4 kids in that ambulance.
Yes, well, he certainly looks dead, but I'm not taking any chances. Oh, George!
Yes?
Perhaps you'd go and fetch my dog catcher for me. It's strapped to the roof rack on my car.
What?
A 10-foot-long aluminium pole with a running noose on the end. Oh, and there's a large polythene sack in the boot. Okay. Got him.
No reaction. I'm certain he's dead.
Yes, well, you're probably right, but I'm damned if I'm going to bend over him with a stethoscope. There. Hold the sack open, would you?
All right.
Oh, what did you do to your hand?
Mm. Oh, I cut it on the netball stand. The dog didn't get near me.
Now, there's a lot of saliva about. You'll have to start a post-exposure vaccination program.
Oh,
very unpleasant, I know, but better than...
Yes, I know.
Yes. I hadn't forgotten.
What do you want to do with him?
I'll send his head and neck to the Central Veterinary Laboratory for analysis as quickly as possible. They'll have an interim result in 24 hours, but for the time being, I'm going to work on the assumption that this animal died of rabies.
If you want to use my surgery...
Oh, have you got an incinerator?
Yep.
Okay, then. As this town doesn't seem to have proper facilities. Do you know who owns this Alsatian?
Simba, he belongs to Clive Harding, the local forestry warden.
You need any help, gentlemen?
Oh, Inspector Swan. Yes, I do. Can you get one of your men to guard these toilets until they've been disinfected?
Yes, sir. Is that the dog in that back?
Yes.
What about the other one?
What other one?
Clive Harding owns 2 Alsatians, Zulu, the twin of this one.
Oh, hell.
I'm sorry, Mr. Margent, I should have told you earlier.
Yes, all right. Now, we have to go and pick it up immediately. Then I've got a major detective task on my hands, finding how this animal became infected.
There's something else. I treated this dog for a fox bite about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, for crying out. Look, is there anything else I haven't been told about?
Where on earth have you been? I've been waiting here.
Clive Harding's Alsatians attacked 4 children in the school playground.
Oh, no. Are they badly hurt?
You remember that Indian doctor at the hospital who treated Tess? She started the children on a post-exposure vaccine treatment against rabies. That's what Margent thinks the dog had. It died later in the school toilets.
Oh.
Margent will be bringing it round to the surgery in a few minutes. He wants to do a post-mortem on it.
Is there any connection with Tess's...
Well, Margent and Willis are now convinced that there must be. You remember that time that Tess was bitten by a vole in 7-acre copse?
Oh, and you wanted her to see the doctor and we stopped you.
Well, if the infection had taken hold, it wouldn't have made any difference with rabies. Let's just hope that those poor kids don't get it.
But surely vaccination is too late if the dog had already bitten them.
Well, the... incubation period can be long enough for the body to build up antibodies before the disease develops. Nothing's ever certain with rabies.
Except if you get it, you die.
Yes.
Oh, good boy. Won't be long now.
Major Letton.
Yes?
Good afternoon. My name is Blanchard. Some men working in the field said I would find you here.
What do you want?
We are camping in this country and would like to spend a few days with our tent by your river, just down there.
Well, yes, I don't see why not.
We will close all doors to the fields and not make litter. If you will say how much it will cost to stay 7 nights?
Well, one of my men will be along tomorrow.
Oh, thank you, Major. We will mean no problems for you. Those are fine dogs.
Hounds, actually.
Oh, hounds. They are for hunting?
Yes. Some of your fellow countrymen will be coming over when the season starts.
I see. Well, I must return to my family. It's very kind of you.
Well, as you'll be down there for a few days, perhaps you'd keep an eye open for a black and white dog I've lost, eh?
An eye open?
Yes, an eye open.
Oh, yes, we will keep an eye open. My daughters are very fond of dogs. We had to leave ours at home because of your quarantine laws.
And that's that. Good. Well, we'll get your incinerator going and burn this carcass. Oh, and the polythene sheeting. Then we'd better have a thorough scrub down and disinfect this surgery. As soon as the van has collected this crate, I'd be grateful if you'd take me to Seven Acre Copse to catch a fox.
We'll be upwind of the earth at the top of that rise. You should have a good view.
If the foxes are using their earth. God, it's hot.
I wouldn't have thought an air rifle was much use.
Well, this one is. It's got an extra powerful spring so that the kinetic energy of the pellet is above the legal maximum.
Ministry idea?
No, my idea. It's quiet. If rabies is enzoic in the wildlife in this wood, then the last thing I want to do is frighten it off.
There's the oath. Near that oak, about 50 yards away.
Ah. We might as well make ourselves comfortable. Damned hot.
What do you do if wildlife rabies is confirmed? Shoot everything as you did at Camberley?
Oh, no. No, we've learned a lot since 1969. Are you still keen on amateur zoology?
No. Not no.
Yes. Still, your knowledge of the local wildlife might come in useful. Now, if rabies is confirmed, my assistants and I will have to carry out a major fox extermination program. They're the main vectors of the disease. Now, we'll use everything except free bullets. Gassing of earths, preferably when the vixen is nursing cubs. Bait, treated with poison, and even gin traps as a last resort. Wildlife rabies dies out when the fox population drops to 1 per square kilometer.
It's a lot more than that here. My survey of 2 years ago indicated in the region of 20 to the square mile.
As many as that?
Scavenging in the town and housing estates is on the increase.
Everything is in its favor. Fox furs are no longer fashionable. Hunting has become too expensive, and what hunting there is wrecked by anti-blood sports amateurs. The old steel dustbin is a thing of the past, and local authorities are cutting back on the frequency of refuse collections to save money. The only thing we can be thankful for is that at least a rabid fox in the furious stage doesn't travel long distances. A rabid dog will.
But they become exceptionally tame.
Yeah, they can do. And that's one of the biggest dangers. Children are naturally attracted to usually timid animals when they show signs of friendship. 20 to the square mile.
And there's one not 4 yards to your left, watching you.
So the holiday's off.
It looks like it. Muriel, I'm sorry. I know how much you wanted to get away, but I promised Martin. Look, as soon as all this is over, we'll...
I thought you and Mr. Marchington finished with the surgery.
He's removing the head of a fox we caught about half an hour ago.
Oh, Tim Swan rang while you were out.
Hmm?
He's at Clive Harding's cottage in Blackdown Forest. He said he went there to collect Harding's other Alsatian and was having trouble.
What sort of trouble?
Well, he wouldn't say, but he sounded worried.
I might have guessed. Clive thinks the world of those dogs. What time did Tim call?
An hour ago.
Well, why didn't you tell me earlier?
I forgot.
Oh.
Just as you always forget to give your brother a decision about taking over his practice.
I'd better get over to Blacktown. You might tell Margin when he's finished where I'll be.
But you haven't had your dinner.
I'm not hungry. I see no point in staying in the house with you spoiling for a fight.
What time will you be back? Oh, damn.
Anyway, you must have guessed what the steel crate was for. We were within 50 yards of the cottage when he appeared at an upstairs window with a rifle and loosed off a couple of shots over our heads.
The stupid idiot.
Does he live alone?
Apart from his two Alsatians. Well, one, no?
Yes, I suppose I'd go off me chump living out here in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by all these spooky pines.
Does he know that Simba's dead?
Yes, I told him over the loud hailer. And I told him he was in danger from his other dog. Just listen to it.
Do you want me to speak to him?
Yes, look. See if you can get him to see sense, but don't make promises concerning his treatment. He's shot a police officer, so the matter's out of my hands. Once we get him out...
How do I work this?
But hold it to your lips, pull the trigger, and speak normally.
Right.
Clive, this is David Coleman. Can you hear me? Listen, Clive, it's important that you let me see Zulu. He's sick, Clive. Have you ever heard him howling like that before? Do you hear me, Clive?
Ah, it's no good trying to talk to him like this. Let me go and see him.
No, it's too dangerous.
He knows me, Tim.
Yes, but I can't allow you to...
Look, it'll be dark in an hour. What do you intend to do then?
We'll stay here all night if necessary.
If I circle round in the trees on the same side as his garage, I could get within 20 yards of the cottage and talk to him without being overheard. Look, we've got to do something. Unless you want another of those long, drawn-out sieges. Clive buys his food wholesale every 3 months. He's probably got enough food in that cottage to last him several weeks.
Yes, look, all right, but pull back into the trees if he shows any sign of getting excitable and see if you can find out where the dog is.
Clive!
Don't come any nearer.
It's me, David Coleman. I want to talk to you.
You've come for Zulu. Well, you can't have him.
Zulu's ill, Clive. Have you ever heard him howling like that before? You must let me see him. He's in the garage, isn't he?
You killed Simba.
Simba died of rabies, just as Zulu's bound to if Simba's infected him. The best thing you can do is let me put Zulu to sleep.
No.
Believe me, Clive, if you really love that dog, that's the best thing you can do for it. Simba died in great pain. He may have passed the infection onto the four children he bit. Nobody's going to blame you for that, but you will be blamed if Zulu gets loose and bites someone. Do you want a kid's death on your conscience? Clive! Clive, can you hear me? Oh. Blast. Clive! I'm going to stand up. Throw the rifle out of the window. Is the garage locked, Clive?
Get away. Get away, I'll kill you.
Shots went about 20 feet over my head. I was never in any danger. Nor were you earlier, Tim.
The dog's in the garage.
I'm fairly certain it is.
Definitely in the garage, sir. I can hear it scratching. And its howling is blowing my eardrums out.
That's a rifle microphone Mathis is holding. He claims he can pick up a gnat's burp at 100 yards on his headphones.
You seem to have brought in a good deal of extra equipment while I was gone.
A night sight image intensifier so we can see in the dark. CR gas grenades and a launcher. Plus three LA-39A1 rifles.
Why rifles?
You reckon that dog's rabid?
Yes.
That's what the rifles are for. Just in case he takes it into his head to let it loose. I suppose you think we're overreacting.
No, Tim, I don't.
Thanks for coming.
Can I stay? He's an old friend.
It's going to be a long night.
Well, I don't suppose I'll be able to sleep at home in this heat anyway.
Wake up, Mr. Coleman.
What's the time?
3 a.m.
Oh.
The dog stopped howling, but we can still pick up a faint noise it's making on the rifle mic. Look, if you'd have a listen on these headphones, maybe you can tell us what's the matter with it.
These?
Yeah.
Do you need a bit more volume?
No.
Well?
Seems to be having difficulty with his breathing. I wish Margent was here. He'd know what's happening. Now it's scratching at something. Whimpering.
At least he had the sense to shut it in the car.
Light gone on downstairs, Mr. Swan.
Yeah, he's going down to see why it stopped howling. Mr. Coleman, could that dog still bite?
It's still moving about, so I suppose it could.
How far is it from the ground to the center of an Alsatian's body? About 16 inches?
Well, I suppose so. Why?
Front door's opening. He's looking round. He's coming out.
Jenkins, Stevens, Kay, yep. Aim at the garage at the sixth course of bricks from the bottom. Continuous firing when I give the word.
Right.
He hasn't got the rifle. He's hesitating.
You rig the right-hand side of the brickwork, Jenkins. Kay, take the middle, and Stevens the left. The sixth course. Understood?
Sir.
I want that dog dead before he opens the garage doors.
What's the point in shooting at brickwork?
Oh, those rifles are sent bullets clean through the modern concrete buildings in Belfast. 9 inches of brick won't stop him.
He's now walking towards the garage. He's stopped. He seems to be listening.
Steady, lads.
Can't make up his mind. He's moving towards the garage again.
Fire! He's firing! He's firing! What's he doing now?
Can't see. The flashes have lost this thing up. Hang on. Oh, the picture's clearing. The old garage is leaning towards us.
What's he doing?
I can't see him. Hey, he's standing up. Must have thrown himself flat.
He hasn't stopped to ricochet.
No, he's okay. He's got a torch. Moving towards the garage.
Can you hear any movement on those headphones, Mr. Coleman?
Nothing.
If that dog comes out when he opens the door and any of you have a clear line, use it.
He's trying to open the garage doors. Yeah, he's having trouble because the frame's warped. He's got one open, shining the torch inside.
I can hear him. I can't hear the dog.
He's gone into the garage.
Can hear shuffling about. He's talking to the dog.
Is it alive? Well?
Don't think so. He's crying, saying the dog's name over and over. More shuffling noises.
He's coming out. Looking this way.
You rotten, filthy, stinking swine!
And now he's running to the cottage.
Light gone on upstairs. Coleman, aim the rifle mic at the cottage.
I have, but I can't hear him.
I'd better get down there.
Ah! My ears!
Odd. There was no flash, and the shot sounded muffled. So what was he shooting at?
Yes.
Stupid, stupid idiot. All for a dog that was going to die anyway.
Man's best friend.
Yes, and we all know who his worst enemy is.
Summer madness.
I might laugh at that one day.
Excuse me, sir. There's a Mr. Margent outside who'd like to see you, sir. He says he's the regional veterinary officer.
Okay, Mathis, I'll see him outside.
I met him once over the sighting of some warfarin hoppers. He was having a major battle with tree rats.
You look how I feel.
Well, I've just got back from the central veterinary lab. Been driving all night. They were very good. They did an on-the-spot fluorescent test and have confirmed the presence of the rabies virus.
In the dog?
In the dog and the fox. Oh. It looks like we've got a major outbreak on our hands.
Mr. Punch killed my dog.
What's the matter, officer?
Did you see the signs as you left the town?
Yes.
Then what's that dog doing in the back of the car?
Well, those signs don't apply to us, do they? I mean, we're only down here for the day.
They say all animals, sir, so if you'd kindly turn this car around and take the dog back to town, you'll find a temporary quarantine centre's been set up in the marketplace. Follow the signpost.
Oh, Lord, honestly.
My quarter cabin should be here in an hour, Mr. Willis. I'd like them set up on this side of the marketplace near the main entrance, please.
All right. I'll tell the post office engineers. They've said you can have 6 lines.
Look, I'm sorry about having to include the beaches in the infected area, but David Coleman's seen foxes scavenging down by the creek.
Oh, hell. Looks like more dogs arriving.
Hello, David!
darling.
Oh, Veronica Fairchild.
Oh, yes.
Secretary of the Market Traders Association. Good evening, Mrs. Fairchild.
Hello, Willie. What's with the dog show?
How did you get in? This is now a restricted area.
Oh, rubbish. It's my marketplace. Now, who's your little friend, and what's all this nonsense I've been hearing on police loudspeakers about rabies?
It's not nonsense, Mrs. Fairchild.
Willie, my sweet, tell me how we'll be able to run the cattle market on Tuesday with all these wretched dog pens all over the place.
There won't be a cattle market on Tuesday until the temporary ban has been lifted. You can have one of these. It's an advanced copy of the rabies control order for this area which came into force...
Market, Willie? Oh, now you're talking rubbish. When you go back to the town hall, take a look at the copy of the Royal Charter in the glass case.
I'm afraid it's true, Mrs. Fairchild. There'll be no market on Tuesday.
Oh.
If you want to hear why in detail, I suggest you come along to this evening's public meeting at the Assembly Rooms.
Why did you bring me?
Because it concerns
us. I don't want to hear anything more about rabies. David, people are staring at us.
No, they're not. I had to come, and I wanted you to be with me.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Sarah Collins, headmistress of St. Peter's and chairman of the council. Before we start, I'd like to thank you for turning out in such numbers on this very hot evening, and to apologize to those members of the council present who've not had a chance to study the rabies control order, which now affects this town and its beaches, and much of the surrounding countryside. Copies are now available and will be distributed during this meeting. The people with me on the dais are, on my left, Mr. Ian Marchant, the regional veterinary officer. At least let Mr. Marchant finish what he has to say.
As I was saying, the infected place has been defined as this area of woodland on the map to the north of the town, known as Seven Acre Copse, and includes this area of forestry land here.
Where poor Clive Harding was killed last night.
My assistants have already started a program of gassing and trapping foxes in the infected area, and will continue to do so until the fox population has been wiped out.
Is the place closed to the public then?
Yes, it is. The police are putting up warning notices, but the area's too large to fence off at short notice.
Why pick on the poor fox? Hasn't there been enough indiscriminate destruction of wildlife as it is without...
There'll be plenty of chances for you to ask questions at the end of the briefing.
The fox is the main vector of wildlife rabies.
Yeah, yeah.
Destroy foxes and rabies dies out.
Rabbits!
Rabies has spread across Europe to the French coast at an average speed of a mile a fortnight, a speed which tallies with the known territorial movements of the common red fox. Also, by pursuing a policy of strict fox control, the Danes have eliminated rabies from Denmark. There is a huge weight of evidence pointing to the fox as the principal spreader of the disease.
And you said gassing and trapping. Now, what sort of traps? Gin traps?
If necessary.
You do that, Mr. Marchant. And as chairman of the local Wildlife Protection League, I'd have a summons slapped on you so far.
The order empowers... The order empowers the minister to allow methods which would otherwise be unlawful, madam. The infected place is shaded in red. Now, this line on the map, starting at the Coast Guard station and sweeping in a horseshoe around the town to 4 miles west of the river mouth, defines the infected area. An area of about 40 square miles. In addition to the restrictions on the exercising of cats and dogs in the area, animals not under control will be seized and destroyed if not claimed within 3 days. There will be a ban on markets, and the movement of all animals in or out of the zone will be prohibited without a special license.
Oh, wait a minute. What about the holidaymakers on the caravan and campsite who brought their dogs with them? Surely they'll be allowed to take them home.
No, they will not. In fact, the first checkpoints were set up an hour ago by the police.
Oh, but this is stupid. What about our village? visitors when the schools break up next week for the summer holidays.
They're welcome to come, but they'll have to leave their pets at home. I've got men now manning checkpoints on all the roads into the area to make certain that no animals are brought in.
By checkpoint, you mean roadblock.
Call them what you like. They're only a temporary measure until all the signs are up and the matter has been given maximum publicity on radio and television. We think we can rely on public cooperation.
Yeah, yeah. Now listen, mate. We seafront traders have to rely on their money in order to live. I can't see the public even bothering to come down if there's signs and all sort of restrictions. It was bad enough, that publicity over that girl dying. But at least that was before the season had started properly.
The measures are for everyone's protection. But the last thing we want
maybe,
is to try...
Maybe, Inspector Swan. But who's going to protect us from the protectors, eh? And who's going to have to pay for all this protection? All the police and the council workers' overtime, the ratepayers as usual.
But the council will be applying to central government for a discretionary grant.
I see on this order there's now a ban on race meetings and hunting. Will the government pay our losses through the cancellation of the August point-to-point?
What ban on hunting?
It's on page 11, Major Latham.
Well, not fox hunting.
Yes.
But the ban will be lifted before the hunting season starts, won't it?
The Waterhouse report recommended an 18-month program.
Well, fox hunting is part of our heritage. You can't...
What about the market? There's been one in the town every week for the past 700 years.
I can understand how you feel, Major Latham. But I cannot think of a worse way of spreading rabies than have a pack of hounds tearing a rabid fox to pieces. And as for hunting being part of our heritage, well, I think it's better to give it up for a couple of seasons than have to give it up for good, as they've had to do in parts of Germany and France. Now, with your cooperation, we can stamp this out perhaps in as little as 9 months.
It seems to me that we're being asked to cooperate in the financial ruin of this town.
Hi, Kyle! Something was done about the dogs in this town. Or the way people allow them to wander about, chasing cats and making messes everywhere.
If you ask me, I think the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries are overreacting. I've worked on farms in Canada where there's always been rabies in the wildlife. I've never heard of anyone dying. You just have to take a few precautions.
Listen, Mrs. Fairchild.
France, no one has died of wildlife rabies there for over 20 years. All these petty restrictions in the hope it'll go away. Well, they amount to the same sort of thinking we had in this country that insisted that motor cars should be preceded by someone carrying a red flag. But the only difference is the motor car kills more people in 1 month than rabies has in the whole of recorded history.
Quiet, quiet, please.
Hey, sit down, David.
Listen, all of you. A few weeks ago, my daughter died of rabies. I was with her when she died. It was the most horrifyingly agonizing death it is possible to imagine. Yesterday, as Mrs. Collins will tell you, a rabid dog got into her school playground and bit 4 children. They're now having to undergo an extremely unpleasant 14-day course of injections in the hope that their bodies will build up a resistance to the disease. If the measures Mr. Margit and the police put into force save even one person such a death, no matter how slight the danger, then I say it will be well worth it. My wife and I have been sitting here in disgust.
Listen, mate! Don't you go trying to beg sympathy from us. It was your daughter who brought rabies into this town in the first place.
Please, take me home, David. Oh, no, David, what are you doing?
He's going to apologize.
Oh, Mr. Coleman, please return to your seat.
You let go,
Mr. Coleman. Off me.
All right, Mr. Coleman, that's enough.
I'll kill him, so help me.
I said that's enough. I'll come back to your seat.
He blamed Tess.
I could have you charged, I could.
All right. Now, let's forget it, shall we?
Come on, David, we're going home.
Not until this little runt's apologized.
Why the hell should I?
Are you all right, David?
Yes, sorry to be such a nuisance. Oh, you better get back on the platform.
That gentleman's accusation is unfounded. There is no record of a human passing rabies to another human.
Oh, what about the bloke who died in Manchester last June? The hospital staff who treated him had to be vaccinated, didn't they?
These record cars are superb, David.
The blue ones are a cross-reference by breed to owners' names and addresses.
Scruff, Mickle, Bunty. Even the animals' names listed. Good, good.
Morning, gentlemen.
Oh, good morning.
Another half dozen stray dogs rounded up. And four cats. The dogs all look as if they've been wearing collars until quite recently.
That makes over 30 dogs now. It's the one thing we were dreading. As soon as there's a panic like this, people whip the collars off their dogs and push them out onto the street. Is that them?
Yeah.
Okay, let's have the cocker spaniel bitch in here.
Right.
I'm going to try a little experiment. But make sure its muzzle's secure.
Begin. Let's have that spaniel. Check its muzzle first.
I want all your cards on the cocker spaniels, David.
Right. I'm spaniel, Mr. Martin.
There we go. Hey, you're looking sorry for yourself, aren't you? Owners chaffed you out, have they?
Six cards.
Ah, thanks. Now then, old girl, what's your name, eh? Is it Kip? What about Sally? Sally it is. Mr. and Mrs. Blake, 42 Forest Drive. This dog can be returned to them with a summons.
Right.
Aren't you just going to warn them?
Until I'm told to do otherwise, no. I've no intention of using kid gloves on this operation.
I want to run the advert for a fourth week. Yes. Exactly the same as the previous ad, but for $1,000 less on the price. That's the one, yes. Luxury six-berth motor sailor, 40-foot length overall. You'll bill it to me? Fine. Bye.
Good evening, Major.
Kemp, how the devil did you get in?
The back door was unlocked.
And who's that?
Surely you remember Tiny, our doorman at the club. I would have thought someone his size was unforgettable. A smile at the nice gentleman, Tiny.
What do you want?
Mr. Snell wants reassuring.
I've told you he'll get his money.
Mr. Snell is very disturbed about this ban on fox hunting. He fears that it might cause him to review his credit arrangements with you.
Well, tell him that he's got nothing to worry about.
Tiny.
Right. What's that big oaf doing?
I don't think Tiny's ever seen a grandfather clock before. A deprived background.
Watch it, you...
And he doesn't know his own strength.
Now, look here. Just what the hell do you think you're playing at? That clock's a valuable antique. He's wrecking it. Can't you stop him?
Probably trying to find out what made it tick. Let's be thankful he's not playing with matches. That's his speciality.
That clock belonged to my father.
Don't worry, Major. Mr. Snell's quite prepared to give you time in exchange. 1 week, to be exact. Next Sunday. The day before August bank holiday, so you'd better make sure you have the right amount for Mr. Snell, because he'll have an extra day to count it.
Oh, you finished early?
There wasn't much point in keeping the surgery open. No customers.
Oh, for the third day running.
It'll pick up.
Will it, David? How many unclaimed cats and dogs did Margent's men destroy yesterday? Well?
I don't know, four or five, maybe.
And how many will it be tomorrow? And the day after that? Another month and your practice will be ruined. And Margent has made it clear that this whole business could drag on for a year.
We'll manage. We've got a bit on deposit.
We won't manage, David. It's not as if it's a bad patch we can weather through. People don't trust you anymore.
Don't be silly.
No, it's true, Dave. I've overheard gossip. Those customers you've always complained about who seem to think more of their cats and dogs than their children, they're the ones who've kept us going in the past. And they see the help you're giving Margent as some sort of collaboration with the enemy.
Then they're more stupid than I thought.
And what that horrible man said about Tess at the public meeting...
We agreed not to talk about it.
You were the one who agreed. That's your answer for every problem. Don't let's talk about it. Tess dies and you say, don't let's talk about it. This practice is virtually finished and you won't talk about it. I want to get away from here and you won't talk about it. Someone says terrible lies about Tess and you won't talk about it. Please, David, don't you understand? I need to talk. And if I can't talk to you, then there's no one. You bottle everything up so that I feel I'm living with a stranger.
I'm sorry, Muriel. I should have realized... I've been so busy these past few days while you... Look, Let's get the August bank holiday behind us, and then we'll have a serious chat about what we're going to do.
Well, what about now?
I've got to go and see Margent.
Oh. Well, I suppose that's better than nothing. All right, then. Do whatever you think best.
£50 less than this time last year. And look at the beach, deserted.
Will you join?
You tell me how you reckon this action group you're thinking of can succeed. If you're my counsellor, how is it you can't manage to do something by yourself?
Well, I want to present a petition to the government, asking them to pay compensation to all those whose livelihood has been damaged by this rabies control order, or who've suffered financial hardship.
And what's in it for you, Major?
Well, as you're all constituents in my ward, I'm naturally anxious that you're not driven away. I mean, seafront traders such as yourself are the lifeblood of this town.
I don't believe a word of it. We never see you between one election and the next. How much do you stand to lose? Come on, mate, there's nothing to be ashamed of. What's upsetting you? And then let me guess. The ban on fox hunting. Ah, I thought so.
Will you and your fellow traders join me? No, I doubt it.
One of the lads in that government vets team was saying in the pub last night that the frogs have long summer holidays, over a month. So they have more reason to smuggle their pets into the country, because it had cost too much to have them looked after at home.
I don't think the length of time they've been in the country tallies with the incubation period.
How do you know how long they've been in the country? Some of my mates working the lobster bus don't have much love for the French. If it turned out that some frogs were responsible for bringing us rabies into the country, they'd be out to pay.
Good morning, David. Come along in.
How's it going?
Better than I expected. We've now gassed 41 foxes in 7-acre copse and 12 in the forestry land around Blackdown. I've just had the results from the central veterinary lab on the head and necks from the first day's gassing. Only the 7-acre copse foxes were rabid.
So it looks as if you might be able to contain it.
Well, I think there are grounds for cautious optimism. That will be the keynote of this morning's press conference, cautious optimism.
53 foxes. That should have made a dent in the population.
Ooh, a hell of a dent. But with an infected place of that acreage, I won't be happy until we've gassed at least 300 of the blighters by the end of September. Yes, and then our problems really start.
Why?
Well, autumn is when the young dog foxes seek out their own territory. It won't take them long to tweak that there's hardly any competition in the infected place, and they'll start moving in droves.
Yes,
to defeat them, you have to understand them. Oh, excuse me. Margent. When was this? I see. Yes. Thank you for telling me. Oh, hell.
What's the matter?
Michael Thorne, the boy who was bitten on the neck by that Alsatian.
What about him?
He died an hour ago.
Am I late for the morning briefing?
You heard about Michael Thorne, Tim?
Yes, I picked it up in my car just now. We've got a problem.
Oh?
Yes, a young PC has just confessed that he saw his aunt carrying one of her cats out of 7-acre copse. She told him that it was the cat's favourite haunt and it had escaped when she was cleaning a window. She told him to keep his mouth shut.
When was this?
2 evenings ago. The constable will be disciplined, of course, but divided loyalty is...
Divided loyalty? Nothing! It was criminally irresponsible of him to keep quiet for so long.
Yes, I agree, but you don't know the full story. The constable's aunt is Mrs. Sarah Collins, headmistress of St. Peter's and chairman of the town council.
Oh, no, of all the people in this town. How many cats has she got?
Just looking, I think it's 5.
Or it's at least that.
Got it. Yes, 5. It was 6, but one was maimed by a fox and had to be destroyed. Remember, Tim, you called me out in the middle of the night.
Yes.
A fox killed one of her cats. This is the first I've heard about it.
Well, it was some months ago. February the 5th.
But what wasn't I told?
To be perfectly honest, I've forgotten about it. I can't see what that's got to do with this outbreak.
But it's got everything to do with this outbreak. I've got to find out how it started. February makes sense. Now, come on. We've got to go and see her about that cat. Frank, I want a crate loaded into the transit.
I didn't think it mattered. He couldn't have been in the copse for more than 3 hours.
I've been so careful to keep them in. I even nailed a piece of plywood over their cat door. They hated it, especially Whiskey. I examined him from head to tail when I got him back. There wasn't a mark on him, so I didn't think it mattered.
He could have eaten part of the corpse of a rabid fox. We've already found two. There could be more.
Oh, Whiskey wouldn't do that. He's so fussy with his food.
I'm afraid we've got to take him, Mrs.
Collins. No, he's all right, I tell you.
I'm very sorry, Mrs. Collins, but we can't take chances. Where is he?
In the back room. Come and see him. Come see him. You'll see. He's fine. His coat's glossy. His eyes are bright.
Don't touch him, Mrs. Collins. Don't touch him, whatever you do.
Here he is. He hates being shut in during this hot weather, don't you, darling? You see. See how well he looks.
Mrs. Collins.
He's beautiful. Aren't you my puppet?
Mrs. Collins.
These silly gentlemen thought they'd have to take you away.
I'm very sorry, Mrs. Collins, but we've no choice. No, if there was another way...
No, but
he won't feel a thing, I promise
you. Oh, no, he's
please,
not.
Please, Mrs. Collins, really. It's the best way, really.
Inspector, come out here a minute.
No, please, you don't understand.
What's the matter?
We've got to take all her cats.
What? Shh! For God's sake, why?
Because they've been together in this house.
But you said cats are not so susceptible as dogs.
All animals are susceptible.
But we can't take all of them, man. Be reasonable, it would kill her.
Look, when I write my report saying that this outbreak has been beaten, I'll want to be absolutely certain in my own mind that it has been in here. And we owe it to the memory of Tess Coleman and Michael Thorne.
I'll go and get the crate.
Okay, you call the doctor.
Right.
You can't do
Mrs. Collins, no, you have five cats. Where's the other one? Now, please, Mrs.
You
Collins, you must tell me.
Only four.
Martini, Whiskey, Sherry, Champagne, and Cinzano. Where's Cinzano?
No,
Mrs.
Only
Collins,
four.
Where no. is Cinzano?
All right, Margaret, I've found it.
No. How do you know their names? There's one of David Coleman's record card, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think I could ever bring myself to speak to him again.
This is the trap where Tess was bitten.
Yeah.
It's empty.
Well, it doesn't matter. I've got enough rodents now for the lab. Oh, it is hot. Good of you to help like this, David.
I said I would.
I mean to come back into this copse. Can't be very easy.
It's probably a good job the council have got it fenced. A cigarette end could set the whole thing off.
Yes. Hello. Something seems to be interesting in those rooks. Let's take a look. Might be a fox corpse my lads have missed.
How many have you gassed now?
Oh, virtually everyone in this wood, we think. Forest is the real headache. Oh. Whatever it is down in that ditch. Hold my sack a minute. I'm going down to take a look.
Well, be careful. They can be boggy.
Everything's bone dry. Oh.
What is it?
Oh. It's the half decomposed remains of a dog. Looks like it's been here several months.
Hang on, I'll come down. I might recognize it.
Oh, not a chance. Stay there. There's an engraved identity disc on its collar. Bit dirty. Yeah, that's better. Does the name Bess mean anything to you?
Major Lathan's gun dog.
Ah. There, figures. His name and telephone number's on the back. This might be the break I was looking for.
He can answer a few questions now, Inspector. You'll find he speaks good English.
Poor devil, what a lousy start to the bank holiday.
It's mostly bruising. He'll be okay tomorrow, but not his wife. They broke her jaw.
Okay, thanks, Doctor.
That's all right.
Monsieur Blanchard? I'm a policeman, and I'd like to ask you some questions about the men who attacked you and your family tonight.
I did not see them. It was dark. You understand?
Yes. Did they have a car?
I do not know. I was asleep with my wife in our tent. My daughters were in a small tent. Perhaps they saw something. How is my wife, please?
Well, like that.
Sorry to disturb you, Inspector. A somewhat cryptic telephone message from your headquarters. Would I tell you that the results of the forensic test was positive?
Thank you, Doctor. He'll still be here in the morning.
I can arrange it.
Good. His case can wait.
Come on, Mathis.
I'm going as fast as I can, sir.
So there's no doubt?
No, none at all. The hairs on the dog you found match the hairs on the bedding in the chain locker on his boat.
I see.
He bunkered with 200 gallons of diesel from the marina on the 13th of December and notified the Coast Guard that he was sailing for Le Havre on that day, and he returned 2 weeks later.
And?
What clinched it was his hired hand at the time, being told to look after his hounds, but not his gun dog. The hand also said that Latham was cock-a-hoop upon his return over some fox hunting he fixed up with a party of French and German businessmen.
I thought you checked every boat in that marina.
Well, seems he moved out in the spring, couldn't afford their mooring fees.
He's got a hell of a lot to answer for. We've always been worried about the irresponsible weekend yachtsmen smuggling pets. And it turned out to be one all along.
Well, he could never bear to be without that dog at his side.
Well, he's without it now. 3 people dead and countless animals destroyed.
Headlights approaching. Be out on this lane at this time of night.
He's shifting too. You better pull in.
Can't. Lane's too narrow.
He's not going to stop. Flash the lights at him.
Oh!
You okay, Marshal?
Yeah, I think so.
Flaming idiot. Feels like we're in a ditch.
Sorry, sir. But I thought it more prudent to take to the country.
Yeah, did you get a look at him?
I was blinded by his lights. Didn't see a thing.
No, nor did I.
Oh, that's all we wanted. The RT handset's busted.
Well, we're going to need a tractor to haul it out. A 3-mile walk to Latham's farmhouse.
At least it's downhill.
Look! That glow! Latham's farmhouse is on fire!
Major Latham! Major
Latham!
Major
Latham!
I think there's a hole extension in the stable tack room, but I couldn't reach it. Heat too intense. Fire spreading to the Dutch barns. No sign of the Major?
No, nothing. His car's on fire. Get down!
There's someone by those outbuildings.
Come on! Mathis, over here!
Coming, sir!
It's him. Major Latham, come away!
We've got to release the hounds! They're locked in!
You're going to have to get him. Give me your jacket, quickly.
He's coming out.
Well, grab him!
I can't hold him, sir.
Okay, I've got him.
Oh, my fault!
There's nothing you can do about the hounds, Major.
Oh, my fault!
Is there a telephone in any of these outhouses?
I must release the hounds!
Stop him! Oh, hell! Come back, Major. It's too late to save them.
Sorry, sir. He put a knee in.
He's gone right in. That roof won't hold much longer.
Stupid idiot.
All for a few dogs.
Well, that's it.
No, it isn't. We've got to stop the fire reaching those pines. If it does, the whole forest will come. How the hell are we going to get down?
Won't the forestry warden raise the alarm?
What forestry warden?
I'd forgotten.
Someone's bound to see it. Good God, man, look at it.
There go the Dutch bombs.
What will it mean to your fox extermination program if the forest does go up?
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking about. We'd have to stop all the foxes from escaping somehow.
Surround the whole area and shoot everyone that shows its snout out of the trees.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's the last thing we wanted to do.
Starting to get light.
Sounds like a job for the army. Charlie 2. How's everything looking from the helicopter? Over.
The fire pumps are holding the blaze to the west. Everyone's confident that it won't reach their housing estate, but it'll be best if the evacuation's carried out. B Company's commanding officer reckons they've shot at least 100 foxes and half as many badgers and deer. The soldiers are playing safe. Any animal that comes out of the trees is shot at. 7-acre copse is blazing from end to end. Quite a sight from up here. Over.
Thank you, Charlie 2. Report in 15 minutes. Well, it looks as if the fire's been got under control.
It's a shambles, the whole damn thing.
Yes, I thought the fire was a blessing in disguise. After all, the Great Fire of London ended the plague.
It only needs one rabid fox to escape. One.
Nothing's getting past those soldiers. Look at them. They're actually enjoying it. In August Bank Holiday Monday, they'll remember for the rest of their lives.
Oh, let's hope so. I was confident that I would eventually stamp out this outbreak by controlled measures. It would have taken time, but I was certain that I could do it. Every contingency was foreseen except one.
Well, what was that?
People's criminal stupidity and selfishness.
Oh, try being a copper. You get philosophical about people's criminal stupidity.
I can never become philosophical about rabies.
He killed my wife 15 years ago in Aden when I was in the veterinary corps.
Muriel, your turn. Muriel. Oh, there you are. Sorry I've been so long. I've brought my record cards back. Margent and his assistants are leaving tomorrow. With any luck, everything should be back to normal in a couple of weeks.
No, David. Things never will be back to normal, will they?
If you're thinking of Tess, of course not.
I wasn't thinking of Tess, though. God knows it's hard enough not to. It's just that the people of this town will never forgive you for cooperating as you did.
Muriel, you've been crying.
Oh, it's finally noticed.
What's the matter? How on earth did that window get broken?
A letter for you.
A letter?
It was wrapped round a stone.
If you and that wife of yours don't... But this is obscene. You call the police?
No.
Right.
Oh, what good will that do? Won't change anything. Won't bring Tess back. It won't stop people refusing to speak to me when I go shopping. And it won't stop me hating this town and everything it stands for and you for keeping me here.
Hello, Harold. It's David. Listen, Harold, is the offer to take over your practice still standing? It is. Good.
David!
Hey, steady on. No, not you, Harold. It's Muriel.
I love you, I love you, I love you.
As soon as possible. Oh, we're putting our house on the market today.
In The Rabid Summer by James Follett, David Coleman was played by Patrick Barr, Muriel Coleman by Pauline Letts, and Mrs. Collins by Betty Bascom. Margent was John Ringham, Swan, Clifford Norgate, Dr. Menon, Valerie Murray, and Harding, Michael Tudor Barnes. Blanchard was played by Leslie Heritage, Willis, Keith Smith, Major Latham, Garrard Green, Tess Coleman, Joe Manning Wilson, and Mathis, Malcolm Reed. Mrs. Fairchild was Diana Payan, Kemp, Peter Woodthorpe, the nurse and the townswoman, Anne Rosenfeld. Animal effects were by Percy Edwards, and we're grateful to the Animal Health Division of the Ministry of Agriculture for their advice. The play was produced and directed by Kay Patrick.